It's time for Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards.
I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
Free throw shooter.
Clark in a straight shot.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. King put this.
To the sideline, caught first down.
Woo! What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter. 2 seconds. One launches a three. Good if it goes. It does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer sends Hunts into the locker room up 10.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Facts and Childress and John Haidt.
We welcome you in, everybody. Tuesday edition of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Haidt here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Tuesday, October 14th, 2025. We are glad to have you with us on the program. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in on the phone lines or the Adams Co-Roofing text line. We remind you on Tuesdays around here, the final hour of the program is reserved for the head ball coach. We'll be hearing from Dabo Swinney with his weekly press conference starting around 11:05 right here on The Roar. So if you want to get in with us today, get in the first 2 hours at 654-ROAR with much to discuss, including the world of college football, James Franklin's firing, Monday Night Football, the weekend in the world of the NFL, much to discuss on the program today. And I know we got a lot of Falcons fans that listen too. Falcons deserve their flowers, man. Ever since the bye week and Zach Robinson's gone to the field, that team has turned it around. And Jeff Ulbrich's defense is playing so well that you forgot his kid a prank called Shedeur Sanders about 3 months ago. So that's been swept under the rug. Life is good right now in Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be talking a little Falcons football today. Also, it was great to see Drake Plyler in the office today. Got some cornhole and foosball in with Drake before the show today, so that was fun. He called it a tie. I think that was probably being generous to me. So we're going to give Drake the win there officially and declare him the victor here today on a Tuesday morning. But, John, on that note, how was your Monday? And excited for Tuesday today.
Monday was all right. Happy for this Tuesday. Looking forward to it. Excited to hear Coach Sweeney at 11 o'clock as we do every Tuesday. Excited to talk some football, man. Excited to talk some ball.
Excited to talk some ball as well. Texter gets in and says, good morning. Would love to hear y'all talk about the amazing game that was Brewers-Dodgers. I got to be completely honest with you, Noah. I see you on the text line here. I didn't watch a pitch. I just got to be completely honest.
I watched a good bit of the first game until the Mariners just blew it completely open.
Exactly the same here.
But then when it came down, it was just kind of a crazy night. I just had like the football on in the background, wasn't really dialed into it.
Same here.
I mean, quite frankly, every time I would look at the screen in the first half of the early game, the Atlanta Falcons were having a ridiculous sack or an explosive play or something like that. I mean, it was just nonsense what they were doing.
Looked like
an incredible game. I said, I'm sorry, I did not watch any of Dodgers Brewers. Tried to. But what I did watch last night, I kind of zeroed in on football after the Mariners-Blue Jays game. I will say that was very entertaining at the start there. Man, when Seattle broke that thing open, though, I mean, there was just no chance for Toronto.
Yeah, it was floodgates. And then so Toronto goes to the bullpen, top five. There's two on, one out for Jorge Polanco. and he just pissed on one, man. Like, it was an absolute rope out to center field. Three-run bomb to make that 6-3 Mariners, doubling up the Jays. And they never looked back from there. And I got to give credit to Seattle, too. Seattle delivered the first blow, right? Julio Rodriguez hit a three-run bomb in the first inning. They got punched in the mouth right back. Toronto came back, and they punched back. So for Seattle to have burned their whole staff and bullpen less than a week ago in Game 5 against Detroit, to turn around on short rest, traveling to a different country in Toronto, and to win the first two games on the road, it will never get better than this for the Mariners. You cannot screw this up at this point if you are the Seattle Mariners.
Don't say that. Don't say that. Find ways to screw this up, man. This franchise, you get into the postseason, they can come out with 120 wins in the regular season and flame out here.
I am praying for my friend Parker, and John, we'll both be off next Friday because my friend Parker's getting married. He's a lifelong Mariners fan, so I'm rooting hard for the Mariners. Like, I want the kid to have his wedding and the Mariners win the World Series, and he can just ride off into the sunset for the rest of his life. That'll be like the greatest weekend slash week of his entire life on planet Earth. So I want my guy Parker to get it done and his Mariners to get it done. So go Mariners. I'm rooting for the Mariners this year. Said that a couple months ago, and I'm going to stay to it. Definitely not rooting for the team from Canada. Sorry if there's anybody from Canada listening.
Man, what a week that could potentially be. I mean, I got married on a bye week, and I had a great time. Like, I can't even imagine what it's like when a team that you have rooting interest in is like really doing something like that. Good for him.
I think it's lined up to where his the clinching game could be while he's on his honeymoon in Cancun. And he's already told his fiance, like, listen, that's going to be a day where we just have to block off that time slot. And she's cool. We love her, too. So shout out to Megan.
Listen,
Megan is cool people, and she's allowing him to watch the whole series. So
we got married on a Friday of a bye week. The next week, there was a Friday night game at Syracuse. I can tell you the Roar mobile app does work in Cancun.
It does work in Cancun.
So we were able to listen to the broadcast. We may have asked somebody at the watering hole at the resort to hook it up to a speaker. So, yeah, no, it works. Yeah, you can watch sports on your honeymoon. You can do it. You need to kind of, like, you know, plan it out a little bit and, you know, don't, like, surprise her on the day of the game. Like, hey, by the way, I know you may want to do dinner, but we're watching baseball. Like, I wouldn't do that.
Yes.
Have the conversations beforehand.
I will say, too.
Certainly there.
Good chance that they see Mickey Plyler's Yankees in Cancun on their honeymoon, so that'll be good. Maybe they
get Aaron
Judge.
They're going to see all of our teams.
Yeah.
Well, except mine. I mean, the Pirates are probably already done with all their vacations. Their season ended so long ago.
And for the Braves, they don't have to be in Cancun. They can just go across the street to all the brand new office buildings and pop up a cot and maybe sleep there. So it's awesome times. Awesome times for our teams. But in all seriousness, let's get to some games. 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in. Peanut gets in and says, Jeff Ulbrich changed my life. We'll start there. I got to give a big shout out to the Atlanta Falcons, man. They were 1-2 coming off a 30-0 embarrassing loss to the Carolina Panthers. They hit the reset button. They fired their wide receivers coach, which, again, maybe that had more impact than we were giving it in real time because they're 2-0 since the dismissal of their wideouts coach. But I do think that Zach Robinson moving down to the field has made an immense impact on this offense. And when I look at the Atlanta Falcons, again, my preseason read of this team was hovering just over 500 because I love the roster and hate the coaching staff. I'm starting to turn around a little bit more on the coaching staff. Raheem Morris and Zach Robinson are starting to make some strides in the right direction, in my opinion. I really liked what the Falcons are doing on the defensive side of the ball. That investment in their pass rush in the draft and the offseason is starting to pay off. And I got to be honest, they kind of snatched Josh Allen's chain last night. Josh Allen was the worst I have seen him in years. That guy was in a blender last night, John. So I'm not sure what was going on schematically. I'm going to have to watch the All-22 tape back because you can't really get every angle from the TV broadcast. But in real time, my main takeaway was, man, Josh Allen's in a blender, and this Falcons defense is flying to the football. Atlanta takes the cake 24-14 last night over Buffalo. Falcons move to 3-2. Bills fall to 4-2. And again, you have four top 10 picks on your offense. When you get those guys the ball, you win. It's not super complicated. 19 carries, 170 yards for Bijan Robinson. Drake London, Ray's out, Mooney's out. Screw it. How about 16 targets? Exactly what you need to be doing. He goes 10 for $158 and a tutty as well. And Algier got in the end zone on a 21-yard rush to get things started. Penix looked great and didn't turn the ball over. It's a good time to be an Atlanta Falcon right now, John. They seem to have things rolling, but it's about sustaining that success now. And we know that's been the issue for the Falcons historically.
Yeah, it certainly has been. You punched them in the mouth. Buffalo didn't want any part of that game. Really, pretty early on. You credit the Atlanta Falcons. I don't know why they ever wear any other uniforms other than those. That defense was the best I've seen it play in the last couple of seasons. The pass rush was there for the first time in, I feel like, a decade in Atlanta. I mean, they were all over Buffalo in the first half of that game. All over them. It was incredibly impressive. I thought A.J. Terrell looked very good last night. It's good to see him back in action. And it was nice to see former Tiger Rook Arororo really causing problems for Josh Allen.
Yeah, Rook has started to play his way into the rotation on the interior D-line, which has been encouraging. He had a really rough start to his career, to be blunt. A part of that was injury. Then he was a healthy scratch for a couple games. I think he was trying to get acclimated to being a pro, right? And I do think that that's a discounted part, John, of becoming an NFL guy, like as a rookie. Like talking to Barrett, talking to my guy Jordan, who made his NFL debut last night. So shout out to Jordan. He also recovered a fumble in that game last night for the Bills. But talking to those guys, you know, on a pretty much daily basis, you have a big lifestyle adjustment when you get into the league. And like, you don't know how to be a pro yet. So having veterans in the locker room, specifically at your position group, to pave the way and kind of show you the lifestyle element of it off the field and how to conduct your business and get your work in and take care of all what you need to take care of, that's a big part of transitioning to the pro level and getting on the field. Like, if your coach doesn't think you have everything in order off the field and you're not bringing the right level of intensity and showing up early and leaving late to workouts and getting to the facility and all that, you're not going to play. So now that Rook's in year two and a little bit more acclimated, he's got veterans in his position group now that are going to be able to kind of pave the way for him. Natural talent's never been a question with Rook. I mean, that guy can do anything in this league.
So the coaching staff was like, he had to earn their trust?
I think that's part of it, yeah. Trust.
So other football teams at other levels of football can do that, and it's not just Dabo Sweeney playing favoritism?
Yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure.
Yes, trust is a very important thing for every program in the country, pro and college. You got to earn the trust of that coaching staff or you're not going to be able to get on the field. And like, that's a big part of why Barrett got his first career start this past weekend. He's conducted himself like a pro. He's earned that trust of the coaching staff. When you're in the building every day early, when you're leaving late, when you, and everybody can see the amount of time you spend in the film room as well. They've got a program in the NFL to where if you're not watching film, you're going to get told on. That's been all the way back in the Johnny Manziel days where they caught him watching 0 minutes of film before games.
You can go even further back to Jamarcus Russell when he was with the Raiders. They handed him blank cassettes one day and said, here's the team, you know, here's the cut-ups.
Yeah.
And he came back and said, yeah, I watched all the blitz packages last night. There were blank, there was nothing on them.
Oh, man. Shout out to Jamarcus Russell on that note.
If you want to, by all means.
654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. We got a couple people sharing their honeymoon stories. I listened to the Clemson game on the Roar app in a beach in Jamaica on my honeymoon. Hey, shout out to that. The Roar app is international. We know that because Lake Murray Michael's checking in today. On that note, from Koper, Slovenia, and sending some accompanying pictures. That's absolutely beautiful. Keep sending pictures, Lake Murray Michael. We appreciate you checking in overseas. Definitely much appreciated.
You know, Michael, if you didn't put in the caption of where you were, I would say Lake Murray's looking a lot different right now.
Yes. Yes, very much so. Another texter
gets in. Not the Lake Murray I remember.
Yeah, that's if that's Lake Murray, I'm going to have to check that out. Texter gets in and says, watch Clemson LSU game in 2012 on my honeymoon in Jamaica. When the kick went through, I was running up and down the beach screaming. So we have a couple people that were tuned in 2012 to a Clemson game in Jamaica. Interesting. Interesting. Very, very interesting. Yeah, definitely very, very cool. I had to bully my parents into going to that game in 2012. They didn't want to go. They didn't think Clemson was going to win, so I'm stitching on both of them. And I think at the time I either started crying or threw a little bit of a tantrum to try and go to the game. I was 9. You got to give me some grace here. And then Catanzaro hit that kick, and the first thing out of my mouth was, I told you. So, yeah.
There you go.
Had a feeling the Tigers were getting it done that day. So shout out to Taj and Nuke and the rest of the guys. Let's take a quick break here on the program. On the other side, we'll come back to some more Monday Night Football discourse. The Bears got the job done last night. Thank you for bailing out my Eagles, Chad. It was much needed. And Caleb Williams continues to look good. Ben Johnson's got himself a little ball club up in Chicago. They're finding a way to win, and there's something to be said about that. Don't think they're a contender or anything close, but they're definitely making strides in the right direction. And we'll talk a little bit more Falcons and the Bills have a lot of alarming similarities with the Philadelphia Eagles right now. They actually have pretty much identical offensive numbers the last two games. So two teams that were the favorites to come out of their leagues, both struggling right now to find identity offensively. Both quarterbacks that are being paid top dollar are struggling. We'll discuss why on the other side of a quick break here with Faxon and John on the Roar.
You've waited all summer for the weather to get a little cooler. Now It's getting a little cooler, and why don't you join about 2,000 of your coolest friends every Thursday night for Jazz on the Alley in downtown Seneca. It's outside dining, great live music, and you, come on and join the party. Here's just a few sounds. Want to bring your chairs just in case, because the tables and chairs go very quickly. And then join us every Thursday night at 5:30 for the Happy Hour Artists. This is a chance for up and rising young emerging artists to debut their talents right here at Jazz on the Alley. It's every Thursday night. If you want to know what's happening and who's playing, it's so easy. Just follow us on Facebook at Seneca SC Events. And then grab your friends, your cool friends, and join about 2,000 of your other friends every Thursday night right here in downtown Seneca for a little jazz.
Hello, Clemson family. I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant football coach for the Clemson Tigers. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott Signature Homes, a smarter approach to luxury living. We're thrilled to announce our newest project, a brand new neighborhood development right here in Clemson. Our new community at Heatherwood will feature over a dozen homes hallmarked by thoughtful design, quality craftsmanship, and a seamless build experience from concept to completion. Visit us at NewtonScottSignatureHomes.com to start your build and learn more about this exciting opportunity. Go Tigers!
It's the ideal time of year to visit ACD Sports on 123 and Easley. ACD has a great selection of Clemson items for all ages in their Clemson fan shop, plus spirit wear for Pickens County Schools. ACD does team uniforms, company caps and polos, embroidery and screen printing, and can set your team, business, or group up with a free online store with items using your logo. Find out why you should have ACD Sports on your team. Open weekdays 9 to 7, Saturdays 9 to 5. ACD Sports, Highway 123 Easley, next to Chick-fil-A.
Are you tired of searching for insurance on the web, only to be bombarded by emails and phone calls of companies that say they can save you money? Well, now you can make one phone call and let the Ben Mason Insurance Agency put together a comprehensive plan for either your auto, home, or life insurance. We can put together a plan for you to meet your budget. Call Ben or David at 864-578-7100 for your one-stop quote and personalized service. At the Ben Mason Insurance Agency, we put your needs first. Call today.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, it's bigger game days and bolder fight nights. I mean, where else can you find a scratch kitchen that always comes in clutch every day from lunch to late night? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
This is Leighton Cubbage from Lakeside Lodge, Lakeside Lodge Clemson. Across Lake Hartwell from Death Valley, Lakeside Lodge has every amenity you could want, including Traditions on the Lake restaurant, a pool, hot tub, and fire pit. Stay with us for the weekend or buy your own condo to enjoy anytime and earn income using our managed rental program. Visit ownership.lakesidelodgeclemson.com to start your new game day tradition, and go Tigers.
If you run a business, you need video. Video for your website, social media, but you don't know where to turn. We've made it simple. Take the Double Dog Video Productions Double Dog Dance. We produce your video, and if you don't like it, you keep your money. We keep the video, we part as friends. A little secret, no one's ever asked for their money back, and you are going to love your video. Check out our website, then give us a call, DoubleDogVideo.com. Let us tell your story.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we offer crawl space insulation and encapsulations, protecting your home from the outdoor elements as well as dust, mold, and allergens. The biggest pain point here in South Carolina is humidity, and with it comes mold. Your health is in jeopardy. We seal your crawl space and control humidity with a dehumidifier, preventing the gross crawl space air to travel through your floors and into your home, making your HVAC work overtime. Call Koala Insulation of Greenville today at 864-867-1779 to learn more.
What's up, everybody? Sam Jones here. Join Nick Costello and me live this Friday night on the Tri-County Technical College High School Football Game of the Week, presented by Ingles. This week, we're at Seneca High School, where the 7-1 Bobcats take on the 4-4 Greer Yellow Jackets. You can listen in live to our pregame show at 7 and kickoff at 7:30 live here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
The holidays are here, full of joy, family, friends, and yes, a little hustle and bustle. That's why you need Aleve. Between cooking, shopping, and all those extra errands, aches and pains can sneak in. Aleve is here to help with long-lasting body pain relief. Don't let body pain slow you down. With up to 12 hours of body pain relief per dose, you can keep up with the season's magic and all that awaits. Pick up Aleve and get back to what really matters, making memories. Use as directed.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar, the only media outlet where you won't need a two-step authentication to access.
It's going to be exciting.
The Roar, where every day's game day.
Hour number one of the program continues here on a Tuesday with Fax and Childress and John Height on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number. Texter gets in and says the year was 1991. Had to plan our wedding around the Clemson schedule, and it was Clemson's off weekend. Halfway through the reception, I hear a bunch of yelling and cheering around a television out in the hallway. Georgia had lost to Vanderbilt. What a wonderful day that was. Appreciate you getting in with that story, Texter 290. And I'm sure there's a lot of honeymoon stories or wedding stories related to sports. If you got that, you can get in with us at 654 Roar. Definitely fun stuff to kind of indulge, if you will. A lot of people with stories on that. Texter gets in and says, watched the Clemson-Oklahoma Cole Stout game in Honduras with students helping out with a Honduras program. That's Tiger Jet. Hey, that's really cool. Cole Stout went crazy in that game. Shout out to Cole Stout, man. What, Clemson have 30-something points, 40-something 40. Points in that game? Was it like 41-6 or something?
It was a lot by us, very little by Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And that was a very bad night for Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, definitely the case. All right, let's get Seminole Ted in here on the phone line. 654 Roar is the number. Ted, how we doing? Good weekend?
Yeah, it was a great weekend. You know, good thing I'm going to the forest today, do some hunting today and tomorrow after work. But all jokes aside, you know, it's really bad when your pro football team stinks too. So I still think we're going to end up with the first pick of the year in the draft, or the first pick of the draft this year. I fully expect McDaniels and Chris Greer to be gone, but I want to talk about Florida State. You know, we were on such a high to start the beginning of the season, and, you know, it's shades of last year all over again. Is this team better? Yes. But we keep losing games because of stupid penalties, turnovers. And I just feel like Mike Norvell may have cashed in all of his goodwill from the 2023 season. I think he's got to run the table to keep the job. I've been a big supporter of his, but I'm in favor of a regime change if it's going to get the standard where it is, where it should be. Because if you look at Penn State, they fired a guy who did nothing but win, except, you know, not winning the big games when he needed to, but, you know, they said this is the standard, and they paid $50 million to buy him out. Yep. So I think that Florida State needs to get back to where that standard is, because it hasn't been the standard since Jameis Winston's second year. What are your thoughts?
Well, Ted, I guess my biggest question is, over the last couple of years, Florida State has been very public about the revenue and, you know, the money that they're making off of TV and everything else. I mean, the big difference here is Penn State is making 70-something million dollars a year off their TV deal, whereas us in the ACC are in, like, the 30s. So I'm just curious, can Florida State – I don't disagree with you that you need to reset to recreate the standard. But can Florida State financially find $60 million or, you know, roughly there? And maybe even more than that, because you'll have to go and get a new roster and a whole new staff.
You know, I don't know. That's a good question. I know from what I'm seeing on the people I follow on Twitter, man, a lot of those boosters, they don't want to pay for it. You know, hey, you've made the bed. We've got to lay in it till we can get out of it. But, you know, sometimes can you afford not to is the other question.
Right, absolutely. I think that was part of what Penn State's question was. Can you afford not to, with the level of disgust that was shown towards James Franklin leaving the stadium Saturday night?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he definitely ran his course there, especially with the fan base. You know, when you're getting just lambasted on your way to the tunnel, you know you're in hot water. So
yeah,
Yeah, as to if we do anything and who we get, I don't know. I wouldn't mind James Franklin. He's a good coach. But, you know, it's too early to think about who's and who's going to be the one and who's not going to be the one. I just, you know, it's something's got to change. You take the control out of his hands and make him the CEO, things are supposed to get better. Yeah, you got a good win over a decent Alabama team. You beat two cupcakes, but you fell apart in the fourth quarter in two of the three games you lost. So,
yeah,
that's just my thoughts on it. I'll take it off the air. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate you, Ted. Thanks for checking in. 654-ROAR is the number. And on the Florida State stuff, yeah, I mean, clearly the team is talented and they're good enough to compete in all these games. But at the end of the day, like, you have to be able to establish some sort of winning identity and winning culture. And I think that's what's been missing from Florida State. When I see a team that's unable to slam the door shut and close games, I see a team that doesn't know how to win. And let's face it, a lot of those guys in the locker room are coming off 2-10. If you don't believe me, listen to their quarterback, who said, I'm just trying to install some confidence in those boys. They're coming off 2-10. But here's the thing. Tommy Touchdowns was 4-2 and then uprooted from Chestnut Hill and left for Florida State. So, like, from the top down in the building in Tallahassee, there is not a winning culture that has been ingrained in that building. There just isn't. Norvell went 13-0 a couple years ago, and he won 10 games the year prior. Whoop-de-doo. That doesn't matter. We're in 2025 now. You're not getting trophies for what you accomplished 2 years ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago. You need to win in 2025. And right now, you're talking about a guy that had Mike Norvell turned, what was it, the tweet you sent me? Did he turn 44 last week?
He turned 44 on Saturday. On game day was his birthday. The last time he won a conference game, he was 42.
You can't, like, that can't happen at Florida State football. I'm sorry. That can't happen to Florida State.
Well, here's another thing. We'll just lay a little more context of it. It's a $58 million buyout. They spent $265 million on stadium improvements. And you just lost to a team that was coming off a 1-2 stretch with losses to Louisville and West Virginia. I'm pretty sure what was Pitt's? Did Pitt only have the Robert Morris win?
I want to say that that's correct, yes.
Like, you're just... I don't know what... Like, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. And I was listening to some national stuff, and some people were talking about, like, that there's a lot of, like Florida State's coaching staff believes that they are better than the ACC. And, like, the players just believe that outside of, like, the games against Miami and Clemson, that they should just be able to roll the ball out, and they don't take it seriously. Well, that's an indictment on Mike Norvell.
You can't roll the ball out. Like, that's just not – there are, like, five teams that can roll the ball out in 2025.
And you're not one of them.
And you're not one of them.
And you haven't been since 2013.
Exactly. Yes.
Like,
you weren't even a roll-the-ball-out team in 2023.
No, you weren't.
Clemson should have beat you. If Whitesea would have hit a chip shot off the couch, you wouldn't have been 13-0.
Like, it's before Saturday, Pitt's wins were against Duquesne, Central Michigan, and Boston College.
Yeah, see, like, it's just not impressive.
And they walked into Doak at a noon game. I understand where Ted's coming from. I don't disagree with Ted. I think if you're a Florida State fan, if you're a Florida State supporter, you should expect better than this. But I don't know, like, from a financial standpoint, can they do it? They just got done paying the Willie Taggart buyout a couple of years ago.
And they just built a new stadium.
Yeah, $265 million.
And they extended him.
Well, and probably if you keep losing a bunch of games, you're going to have to use a lot of money to go get a bunch of different players again.
You have to churn this whole roster, and guess what? You're going to need a new quarterback because Castellanos is out of eligibility. So,
and you're going to need, I mean, right now, the 3-3-5 thing, it looked great against Bama. It is not working.
No, it's not. So that's something that takes a couple years. Like, if you're going to go 3-3-5, you have to change your entire recruiting and portal philosophy on that side of the ball because you're recruiting completely different profile defensive linemen and linebackers at that point.
Sure, but also if you look at, you know, where they're at right now, like, would you think Florida State, that Michael Alford would go to Mike Norvell, be like, listen, $58 million is just too much for us, but you have to do the coordinator thing again?
No, they can't do that. You've already...
That's what I mean. Like, I don't know what buttons there are to press other than fire the guy.
I think that's the button at this point. And I also don't think that this is going to be a James Franklin midseason thing. I think they're going to give him to the end of the year. And to be honest, I think he deserves till the end of the year. I want to see how this plays out with Malzahn, and I want to see how this plays out with Tony White, because this isn't James Franklin where it's like... You have an intricate track record of losing the big game, and now you're losing the little game. This has been a Jekyll and Hyde tenure to where I don't think a midseason firing accomplishes anything for anyone, because the guy that is replacing Norvell is most certainly not in-house. So at that point, you're essentially just wasting games away. You might as well try and let the guy win while he's still here.
But one of the issues right now is everybody's getting to the front of the line, right?
That is true.
If you're Florida State... And you haven't done well in the hiring process. You lucked into a good year with Mike Norvell, but you haven't hired well the last couple of coaches. I don't know if Virginia Tech, Oklahoma State, Penn State, UCLA, Arkansas, and I don't know if I'm forgetting any other ones, they'll already have their ducks in a row and a plan in place where Florida State will be scrambling right after Thanksgiving. I don't disagree with you in Tallahassee. Like, if I'm looking at Florida State in a vacuum, I think you are correct. But if I'm looking nationally, and if Florida State believes they're one of the big boys, then I don't know if they want to be coming to the party late.
That is fair. I'm just going to throw something at the wall. I know we got to take a break here. Jimbo is trying to get skin back in the game. That's all I'm saying.
You can't do that.
I don't think you can either, but boy, would it be hilarious. I do think Jimbo is going to end up coaching somewhere next year, though. I will say that. Another texter gets in and says, one name, Dion. I would have said that before this season. After his commentary this offseason towards Florida State, no. That's not
commentary over the years about Florida State.
And it's also he just had another procedure and he's got some massive health concerns. I don't know how much long Coach Prime's going to be coaching in general.
Right. I think there's health reasons there. I would not be all that surprised if he retired at the end of this year. Or at any point in time in the near future.
I don't know what a culture fit would be in Tallahassee. I think that's part of
I think that bridge has been burned. I think that the commentary from him and Florida State people over the years, I know that he is one of the best players to ever play there.
Yeah, no.
I don't see it.
Texter's getting in and saying Drinkwitz. I think he's going to get a call from just about everybody that's, under the sun and has an open job at the P4 level, to be honest with you. I think he's getting a phone call. I don't know if he'd take it. He's got a good thing going right now at Missouri.
I would not leave SEC money for Florida State money.
I would also.
I would not. I just, because if they pull off finding the $58 million, how many credit cards is Florida State maxing out to pull this thing off? I don't know if I'd want to be the guy to follow it.
Yeah.
Texas says Drinkwitz makes sense in Florida. I like Drinkwitz at Penn State.
I could see Drinkwitz
at Penn
State. They need
offense. Matt Rhule hasn't won a top 25 game as a head coach since 2016 when he was at Temple and they beat Navy. James Franklin couldn't win top 10 games. Matt Rhule can't win top 25 games. I think Drinkwitz makes sense in some of the top jobs, but my point is I don't think he makes sense at Florida State. I would not leave SEC money to go to Florida State.
It's the same reason I don't entertain the people that say Shane Beamer is going to leave to go to Virginia Tech. Shane Beamer's an idiot if he leaves to go to Virginia Tech.
Well, that may be, depending on how the rest of the season goes, he may have to reset the clock.
Yeah, that might be fair.
You know what I mean?
Talk about a massive
buyout.
The
record in Columbia may dictate something, because the last couple of days you're seeing that the seat's getting a little warmer.
It is. Texter gets in and says Norvell's going to be there for a couple more years and still break FSU's bang-pang players that just don't gel together. Another couple people are saying Cignetti at Penn State. Yeah, I think that's kind of the common takeaway right now for everybody.
I don't see it.
I don't know if he's going to take it.
That's what I'm at. I think at this point in time, I think he's in a better spot, man.
He's got a good thing going, and he's proven that he can win and hang with the big boys.
And they're
going
to give him that ridiculous contract that he could get at Penn State.
Yeah.
I think he's... He's meant to be there.
Somebody pointed out something to me as well. Cignetti is 64 years old. I didn't realize he was that old until the other day, and I just, in the coaching world, you usually see 70 as kind of that hard cutoff. Does he want to make another big cross-country move with his family and everything along those lines? Like, he could make a similar amount of money in a much cheaper place to live where it would probably mean more compensation for him in an area where he's already entrenched and he already has the, you know, the recruiting and the portal pipelines built up and established. I don't know how much better of a job Penn State is than Indiana right now. And I can't believe I'm saying that.
No, I don't think he does. Like, I don't think it's like that big of a difference other than stadium size.
Neither
you
do
know,
I.
There's little parts about it, I guess, from a preferential thing. But the way he's got it rolling in Bloomington, if I was his representation, I would just tell him to use the phone call you get from Penn State to ink the massive contract at Indiana.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the program. 654-ROAR is the number. We got a couple texts in from people on their honeymoons or weddings with stories. Texter 437 gets in and says, we got married in 1990, the day Clemson lost to Virginia for the first time. My uncle was so upset he couldn't listen to the game on the radio and said our marriage was doomed. Been married for 35 years. So it looks like you won that one. 437, congratulations. And congratulations on all the success in your marriage, brother. And we had another texter get in as well and say, September 9, 2006. Clemson lost a close game to BC 34-33. My son was due on the 4th, so I went to the game very pregnant. We won the Florida State game 2 days after he was born on the 16th. That's awesome, 572. Appreciate you texting in, and glad you were able to bring your son into the world with a Clemson win. That's always a good thing. Always a good thing. All right, quick break here on the program. Final segment of hour number one with Thaxton and John up next.
One bag at a time makes a big difference. Help clean up Anderson County one bag at a time. If every household countywide collects one bag of litter from your neighborhood, imagine how much better it would be for everyone. All we're asking of you is one bag at a time. Make it a fun project for your family or your neighborhood. What a difference we can all make. Anderson County Solid Waste will provide cleanup supplies. Just call 260-1001 to report bags and request supplies, one bag at a time.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. Jerry, the Beacon opened back in 1946. How many years have we been serving great food at great prices?
Hey, Plante!
70 years. How many folks are we still serving every week?
Hey, Plante!
Well, like you always say, I like my job, but I love my customers. But can you say something other than hey, Plante?
Call it!
Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John White Boulevard in Spartanburg, where the food is still always good since 1946.
Premier Portable Buildings and Trailers are right in your backyard. Looking to gain space in your home, a shed is a great way to make room. And if you need to transport your gear, we have a trailer to meet your needs. With two locations to serve you, Sheds of Spartanburg and Sheds of Welford. Visit shedsofspartanburg.com or shedsofwelford.com where you can view our entire inventory of sheds and trailers. Call today, 864-652-1660 or visit 1470 Boiling Springs Road, Spartanburg or 321 Spartanburg Highway, Welford today.
Time to take your lawn to school with Grass Nerds, your local lawn care experts. Our tailored programs cater to all grass types, ensuring your lawn stands out in the class of its own. From weed control and fertilization to soil sample analysis, let the nerds be your grass professors. If you're tired of battling weeds and want to enjoy a beautiful lawn without the hassle, allow Grass Nerds to take the guesswork out of the grass work, where every lawn graduates with honors. Enroll today at grassnerds.com.
It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Swamp Fox Distilling in Pendleton is partnered with The Roar, and we're raising money for Tigers for Tatas. Throughout the entire month of October, they're donating 50% of their sales of orange and vanilla all-in rum and all-pink merchandise. They also have raffle baskets that include rum bottles signed by head coach Dabo Sweeney and others. Visit Swamp Fox Distilling, located at 128 Exchange Street, downtown Pendleton on the Square. Open Thursday through Saturday from 2 to 7 p.m.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to, study what I want to study, having the Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
You can count on Ace Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air for HVAC repairs, installations, replacements, and maintenance. Their certified technicians deliver fast, honest diagnostics with the latest tools to solve the real problem, not just some quick patch job. They will give you upfront pricing and a one-year labor guarantee. If that's not enough, they offer flexible financing, first-time customer specials, and discounts for veterans and seniors. Proudly serving the upstate in the bold white and blue trucks, visit acehomeco.com today.
Fall weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard when preparing meals for family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to fresh seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're traveling or heading to the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles Pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter just for you. The Ingles Floral Department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. Take it from me. You'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices. Love the savings.
Have you thought about creating an estate plan? Without a will or trust in place, the state will have control over your assets when you're gone. If this is something you haven't thought about yet, let the Green Law Firm help you plan for your future and your family's security. David and his team specialize in creating the best estate plans for you, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and end-of-life directives. Let Green Law Firm give you peace of mind knowing your legacy is protected. Call today at 86-427-1794 or visit greenlaw.legal for your free consultation.
When you bleed orange, there's only one place to be.
Kane takes a shotgun snap. Blitz coming. Kane gets away from the blitz. Rolls right side. Throws downfield. Got a man wide open. Moore inside the 10. Catches it. Inside the 5. Touchdown.
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Final segment of hour number one here on a Tuesday with Faxon Childress and John Hyatt on 105.5-97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines and Adams Co. Roofing text line remain open. We'd love for you to participate in the program. A lot of, I would say, throwing darts on the Adams Co. Roofing text line right now at some names, and we have some common ones. Here's the thing for me with this Penn State job. Texter gets in and says, do you think Penn State would come after Tom Allen? John and I were talking off the air, and I think we're in alignment. You don't pay a $50 million buyout to hire a coordinator. Nope. You pay a $50 million buyout to go take someone's head coach. Like, that's...
Yes.
You're going for a big... he's not going to take it. You're calling Dan Lanning. You're probably calling Kirby Smart. Like, you're calling everyone if you do something like this, and you're gauging the interest. You're calling all the big names in college football, and you're seeing who bites.
Well, you're not calling them directly.
Yeah.
You're calling their... I want to make sure we relay that out. Like,
you're calling their agent.
There is not going to be a situation where this week where Pat Kraft, at the AD at Penn State, is picking up the phone and dialing Kurt Cignetti directly. That
yes.
is not going to happen whatsoever.
You're reaching out to
it's
representation.
It's all back channeling. It's all agent meetings. It's, well, if we're traveling, if we have a road game, then maybe, you know, we'll meet you at the local airport, you know, and have a little conversation there and stuff like that. But, no, it's not going to be like Pat Kraft calling the individual head coaches. Be like, hey, I got 10 minutes till practice. I can talk. Like, I don't think that's how it's going to work.
It works through agents, and then agents will communicate directly with the coaches. And obviously, there's going to be finances that are discussed. There's a lot to it, and there's lots of those different processes. But I'm intrigued to see where Penn State goes. I do think they're going to be on the phone actively early and often. And I think part of why they fired James Franklin was to try and get in front of the rest of the cycle, because weirdly enough, right now, there's not that many young up-and-coming names that people think are going to be head coaches. And a lot of the steam for some of the guys that we anticipated to become head coaches at the next level eventually has kind of died off. I mean, I think Garrett Riley is kind of an example of that, to be completely blunt. Like, 3 years ago when he got hired, Nobody thought that Clemson was going to be able to retain Garrett Riley for 3 years. They're like, okay, he's here for 1 year or 2 years, and then he's gone, and he's going to go get a Power Four head coaching job, or he's going to go take the ECU job. That's kind of died down as of late, and it's not just Garrett Riley either. A lot of these young and upcoming coordinators that felt like they had a lot of steam at one point in time no longer have that steam behind them as far as who's going to get elevated to be that next young, upcoming, hot hire. I don't know if we have a guy right now in college football that fits that mold.
I don't think we do, because I think the hiring practices are changing. Like, it used to be 10 years ago. That, like, if Garrett, I'm going to use Garrett Riley as the example. I don't believe that there's any talk or that he's trying to leave. I'm going to use him as the example here locally, as a young hotshot offensive coordinator. If Garrett Riley had ideas and visions of being a head coach, which I'm sure he does, 10 years ago, he would have gone and taken the ECU job last offseason, a place where he had coached before and tried to bring ECU to an American Conference title, and then would parlay that to a power gig.
Yeah.
But now you are seeing people going, like the big poaching and the big game hunting. It's like it's almost beneficial to stay on a bigger school staff and get poached that way. Like, it's just the hiring practices are changing quite a bit.
People also want different things out of their head coach now than ever. And, like, I think the CEO mold is becoming more and more popular throughout the world of college football with the more NFL-geared things become.
Well, I also think it's going to be very interesting. Do you know the last time Penn State truly had a coaching search where there wasn't scandal tied to it?
The 90s?
1966, when they hired Joe Paterno.
Wow.
Right?
So this is uncommon territory.
Very uncommon territory. I mean, they hired Bill O'Brien, but there was, you know, a whole lot of scandal attached to that hire at the time, and there was a lot of drama involved when O'Brien left to go bring in Franklin. There were still a lot of sanctions going on at the time. I think one thing I'm going to be curious to monitor with Penn State will be, are they going to try to do the general manager route, or are they going to, because they did not have one. It was James Franklin doing the traditional college football model. Are they going to go out there and hire a GM to hire a coach? And I have no idea if Penn State's going to go down those waters. Because I think that impacts like who the candidate list is.
Can I make a potentially crazy, crazy, crazy comment?
It's called Facts on Sports. Go for it.
I think the GM might matter just as much as head coach in 2025 college football. And maybe if it's not an eye for an eye thing, I think you're significantly closer from an importance level. Let me put it this way. Depends on the school.
I'll push back a little bit, but, you know, walk it out.
Let me frame it like this. A GM can make or break your program. It is that important of a position, and there are certain people within the world of college football and fans that probably don't value it like that because it's something that's new and been introduced. I don't think it's as important as who your head coach is, because that's the person that's calling plays, that's the face of your program, that's the guy that's delegating within the building, hiring coordinators, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But with more parity, the importance of players has been elevated.
Sure.
And now your player evaluation better hit, dude, and your transfer portal guys, they better hit, and those freshmen that you're paying $500K to coming out of high school, those guys better be ready to play day one and help your team, because now general managers, they're not just responsible for that player personnel selection, for player talent ID, for evaluation, all of that. They're also in large part responsible for how you're divvying up your funds. So if you're paying a large chunk to your QB and he sucks, guess who that's falling on? That ain't on your coach, dude. That's on your general manager. This is the world of parity now.
I think we'll eventually get there, but I also think that has to be at a school-by-school basis.
I do think that's fair.
So, like, for example, like, I don't think, although I like the gentleman that they are, I don't think Jordan Sorrells or Kevin Kelly have more power than Dabo Swinney.
No, they don't.
But I do think, like, whoever gets the job in Blacksburg, the GM may have more power there. So I think that's what I mean, where it's a school-by-school basis.
It depends on how your program is structured.
Right, how long tenured your coach is.
Yes.
Like, are you... Yeah, there's so many different factors in there. So I just wanted to make sure we walk that out a little bit instead of, like, blanket stating it that GMs are more important than coaches. Because I think at every school, it's different.
When I look
like
at...
Like, right now, I'll use North Carolina, for example. Yeah, the GM's a much bigger problem than the head coach right now.
Yes.
Michael Lombardi has been an absolute disaster in that role. But I don't, like, I just, like, every school is just different right now as they're wading into the waters.
I look at two schools where I think the GMs don't get enough credit for the talent level that they brought in, and the two schools that jump to the front of the line for me are Indiana and Oklahoma. I think Indiana and Oklahoma's general managers and just kind of front office and the way that they, you know, do player personnel and scouting, I think those guys are genius. It's Jim Nagy for the Oklahoma Sooners, and I think he's done a phenomenal job at the helm of that program. Texter gets in and says, so you think Kevin Kelly is the same juice as Dabo? Not what I'm saying. No, not what I'm saying. Not what I'm saying. I don't think that they have the same juice or the same pull or that they're the final decision makers. All I am saying is that that is an extremely important role that did not exist 5 years ago.
It's a increasingly important role, and that's where I mean by school-by-school basis.
Yes. Like, you... It's weird, though, because I will say this. Everybody's got a different timeline with this for, like, what your level of involvement and for what your actual impact can be. And that's goes back to John's kind of school-by-school thing. I just think it's different everywhere right now, whereas in the NFL, it's kind of all the same because you're operating under a salary cap and everybody has the same rules and everybody's got an owner that they have to answer to.
And a CBA.
Yes.
And a league commissioner.
And there's contracts.
There's rules. There's governance, there's oversight, there's all the things that college football doesn't have.
Texter gets in and says, what does a college GM do? Player personnel evaluation. Yeah, it depends on the school, but player personnel evaluation and, you know, roster construction is probably the general umbrella I'd put it under. And obviously, like, the head coach has a lot of impact in that as well, but the your GM, that's pretty much their only job, is to build you a roster and to allocate your funds and to handle all the contracts and the NIL and a lot of that stuff. Let's get Mike and Anderson in here, and then we'll go to Ron and Aiken. Mike, good to hear from you.
Yes, sir. Thanks for getting me in. I spoke with John earlier. Still listen every day, just don't get the call very often. On this James Franklin thing, and there are a lot of sideline stories or buy stories to this thing. Don't feel sorry for James Franklin at all. Certainly he's walking away with $45 or $50 million. But if you'll do some deep diving on this man when he was at Vanderbilt, he's not a very nice guy unless he's changed. But on the football side of it, you know, Mickey brought up this morning what happened Nebraska. When Tom Osborne retired and Frank Solich was hired, and he had a really, really good record except for a couple of seasons. And now they've pretty much been wandering around in the wilderness for, God, 20, 30 years, however long it is. There's that side story to it. And then another story to it that I'm confused about. I understand that there are just tons of money being tossed around in college football, the NIL stuff, the house settlement, TV money. I read somewhere the other day, I think it was Texas, generated $328 million in revenue off of their football program last year, and that included TV money, donations, ticket sales, all of these things. But if you know, you look at players, and we get mad at players as fans, or we complain about it, the NIL and how much they're being paid, yeah, and this and that. But yet a major university has $45 to $50 million to just burn to get rid of a coach who really probably had one of the top 10 programs in the country when he was fired. No, he couldn't win the big game. He couldn't win a national championship, but he probably had a top 10 program. All of this money that's being thrown around in the buyouts, if Norvell gets fired this year, they owe him $50-something million, I think Seminole Ted said, and on and on and on with all these coaches. Where does this end? How long can this money last? And won't they eventually kill the golden goose with the way college football is going right now? And I'd like to hear your thoughts on that, and I'll hang up and listen. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you checking in. 654-ROAR is the number. I will come to Ron after a break because we're right up against top of the hour.
Yeah.
But I think there's a lot of truth and a lot of fairness to what Mike's getting at.
Well, that's why I don't have an issue with players being paid. Like, we're going to give James Franklin $50 million to go away. We're going to give Mike Norvell $60 million because he did a bad job. Like, That's ridiculous. To his point, I have no idea when the bubble bursts. At some point in time, it will. But that's why listen, is NIL out of control? Is the portal a bit nuts? Sure. Would I like rules and regulations? You better believe it. That's why I have no issues with the players being paid, because of the stupid money that gets tossed around to the adults in this sport. I mean, it's ridiculous.
It is. They deserve at least a piece of the pie, right? Because they're the ones with
the
products.
If Texas is going to bring in $300-something million, they should be giving some of that to the players.
Yeah, 100%.
Mike, I wish I had a better answer for your question. I do not know when it eventually bursts or changes, but no, yeah, it's trending down that way. It's trending down that road. I don't know when we get there. I think the next round of TV contracts at the end of the decade will tell us a lot.
Texter gets in with something that's true. 006, I read this story yesterday from The Athletic. So Franklin has a couple stipulations in his contract related to the buyout where he has to pursue another job in coaching and or broadcasting, and then he'll have a salary that comes with that, and Penn State only has to pay the difference. But, I mean, if I'm Franklin, I'm taking an analyst role at the local high school and sticking it to him, just to be completely honest.
Absolutely.
If there's no lingo that demands that I'm making seven figures, I'm taking the minimum wage job that I can get and making Penn State bankroll me for the next 5 years.
I would not disagree with that angle.
For sure. Let's take a quick break here. Final hour of an abbreviated program on a Tuesday with Faxon and John continues. We're coming to Ron on the phone lines right after this. 654-ROAR if you want to check in on the Roar here with Faxon Sports.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are...